Exodus chapter 7. Wow, this is the big one, right? This is the big day. Where Moses and Aaron, you know, we always talk about what Moses does, but, you know, Aaron's shadow. He's that shadow of Moses. In fact, we begin here in verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet." So Moses, well, we understand that God is a jealous God, and he's not turning over his authority to Moses, but in the sight of Pharaoh, especially in their superstition, a man is it can be a god, you know, a god-like figure, powerful. And Moses would be that once removed power that Pharaoh would see and deal with. But he was, you know, doing the talking. It was Aaron with his rod. You know, we always talk about Moses and the rod, and yet it was Aaron that was right there. So we see, you know, and sometimes the further we get away from actually reading what the scripture says, the more the story changes. And once the story changes and becomes accepted, unless we go back to the Bible, we miss the truth. And it may seem insignificant, but it isn't. And we need to be mindful. Like, who cut Samson's hair? Who did? Right, and it wasn't Delilah. It wasn't Delilah, but she was the one that orchestrated it. You know, she was the one that made it happen, but she was the one that did it. And that's one of those things that we just get caught up on. I know it's a trap, I'm sorry. But that's the issue. The issue is we get so caught up in our story. And, well, you know, that's the way we tell the story, even though it's not true. And so we got to get back to Scripture. And so he makes Moses this godlike figure. So there's this mystery. You know, when we talk about God, there is an element of mystery, isn't there? We know God. We see the descriptions in the Bible of him in the vision to Ezekiel. We see the theophany or the Christophany, the appearance of God as he walks in the garden with Adam and Eve, as he wrestles with Jacob, as he's there with Gideon, the captain of the Lord's army, all of these appearances of God in the Old Testament, which is Jesus, the manifestation of God in the flesh. And God, there's always this element of mystery. Even though we see these descriptions and we know him and we know the mind of God and the principles of God, there's still an element of mystery. Where Moses was, as much as Pharaoh knew about Moses, there was an element of mystery. Who is this guy who he was here and then he was gone? And now he's back and he's calling for this festival and trying to get all these people away from their work. And yet, who is it that does the talking? It's Aaron. And Moses is there, but he has a representative doing his talking for him. So there's this element of mystery. Verse 2, "Thou shalt speak all that I command. Aaron thy brother shall speak to Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land." And we go over and we look in verse number 6. Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded, did they. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spake unto Pharaoh. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, "When Pharaoh shall speak to you, say and show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent." But that's not the way we tell the story, is it? And Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Go to verse number 10. Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh. They did so as the Lord had commanded. Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Now, that's pretty impressive. I don't care where you come from. That's impressive. That's quite, isn't it? And to us, it's a miracle. You know, it's powerful. No doubt it was a powerful demonstration of the present. But then what? Then Pharaoh called in his wise men, verse 11, and sorcerers, the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. So they were able to do the same thing. Well, how could they do that? You ever seen a magician? You know, they were able to do it. So what does that do? I can imagine Moses' heart when he did that. Oh, well, that wasn't very impressive. We throw ours down, it become a serpent, and then they throw theirs down, they become serpents too. So how's that going to impress anybody? Verse number 12, they cast down every man his rod, serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. So there you go. God says, I can do better than that. And I'll eat all yours. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And we go down to verse 14. The Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out into the water. Thou shalt stand by the river's brink. Again he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. Thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. So, we have the demonstration of the serpent, which is not a curse, not a plague. But now he says, let them go, or we're going to turn the water into blood. Was it God's plan right here for Pharaoh to let the people go? No, he wanted to demonstrate to all of Egypt that their idols, their gods, are no gods. That their Pharaoh is no god. But that there is one God with power over everything. And so there was a process in order to get them there. And that process demanded that Pharaoh not comply. What was the goal originally? To get the Jews out of Egypt, the Hebrews out of Egypt. Let's get them out of here. But then, instead, they turned them into slaves. Now they were productive. Now they were doing things they wanted. And they said, hey, let's not get rid of them. We're getting a lot of work out of them. And so now they've reached that point where God says, I'll turn the rivers to blood. By the way, not just the rivers. If you look at what it says in verse number 19, the last phrase there, even the water that was in vessels of wood and vessels of stone, even the water they had in storage was turned to blood. And of course, the rivers, ponds, streams, everything, it says in verse 19, but even the stuff they had stored turned to blood. So there was no escaping this judgment. In verse number 20, last phrase says, and the rivers were turned to blood. All the waters were turned to blood. And the fish died. So it was not just an element of color. You know, it destroyed the water. It turned the water to blood. Verse number 22. So that's impressive, right? Oh, that's powerful. And then Pharaoh called his magicians, and what did they do? They turned water into blood too. It appeared to be blood. Verse 22, and the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. Can unsaved people do good things? They can. Here. You know, there are many things we look at the world that people are doing, that good things that are being done that are not being done by the church. They're not originated by the church. They're not supported by the church. They're not, the workers are not church people. They're not Christians necessarily. Lots of good things. And so when we do good things and we say, well, you know, that was God's will. That was God working through us. The world says, well, we can do it too. So there's this balance. Is it really that impressive? You know, the difference, the great difference between what we do and what they do is that we're doing it to serve God. We're doing it to please God. We're doing it because God has directed us to do it, led us to do it. He put it on our hearts, burdened us to do it. They're doing it because it needs to get done. Right? They do it because they see a need. Nothing wrong with that. The difference is for a lot of people that are unsaved is they do a lot of those good things in order to get to heaven. And it can't get them there. We're not doing it to get to heaven. We do what we do and we're going to heaven. It's not part of the, it's not an equation. It's not part of the formula. And so they did so with their enchantments. Verse 22, we come to chapter 20, or verse 25. 7 days were fulfilled after the Lord had smitten the river. Chapter 8. How many of y'all like frogs? How many of you are scared of frogs? How many of you think frogs taste good? And the Lord spake to Moses, chapter 8, verse 1. Go to Pharaoh, say to him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. The message doesn't change. God is consistent. God is consistent. Well, through the demonstrations, yes, he is. He's trying to change Pharaoh and all the people, trying to show them. So the world can, we can believe what we want to, but God is God. God is not less God because we don't believe it. And so demonstration is there. Verse 3, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly. You notice what happened. All that water was turned to blood and all those fish and stuff that lived in it died. And now, you know, he's taking it away. Now it's better. And what? Now there's frogs coming up out of it. And verse 3, it says, they shall go up and come into thine house and thy bedchamber, upon thy bed, into the house of thy servants, upon thy people, into thine ovens, into the kneading troughs. Boy, that's lovely, isn't it? Frogs everywhere. And just can't get away from it. You can't escape it. Everywhere you turn, frogs. Verse 4, and the frogs shall come up both upon thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. Just crawling up on them. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that. Well, you know, you might think about ticks, right? They just get on you because you're where they are. And maybe you've been in a situation in a home maybe where there are other bugs. And just, you know, you don't want to stay long because they'll crawl on you. They get on you. Well, imagine if it were frogs. Frogs everywhere. You can't escape them. Can't go anywhere except there's going to be frogs. And so, verse number 6, Aaron stretched his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. Impressive, right? Remarkable, incredible, unbelievable. What's next verse say? And the magicians did so with their enchantments. And the magicians come up and say, we can get frogs to come too. And they do their thing, and here come more frogs. Wow. See, so every time, they're just meeting them, you know, dollar for dollar, if you will. So it kind of takes away impact. Okay, well, you say God gave you the power, but my guys can do it too. And they didn't say it came from God. And verse number 8, Pharaoh called for Moses. By the way, isn't that kind of dumb? Any of you ever went out in the woods and said, Lord, I wish there were more ticks? Right? There are ticks out here. I wish there were more. Look, I waved my magic wand and there's more, right? There's more roaches, right? There's frogs everywhere, and he says, come on, guys. They go, oh, frogs. Well, good job. Right? You brought more on yourself? Verse 8, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people. And I will let the people go that they may go do sacrifice to the Lord. Goodness, I'm done. Enough of the frogs. Moses said to Pharaoh, glory over me. Right? Moses is happy about that. Did God tell him how many of these plagues there were going to be? God say, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this one, and then this one, and then this one, and then this one. No. So each time it was a plague or a miracle, Moses came into Pharaoh and he said, look, this is it. You got to let the people go. And when Pharaoh said, I'm going to let the people go, Moses thought, good, I'm sick of frogs too. I'm ready to be over. He said, glory over me. Hallelujah. Let's get rid of the frogs. Because remember, where do the Hebrews live? They live in Egypt. They live in Goshen. They live in Egypt. So what are they dealing with? They're dealing with the same stuff. At this point, the Lord hasn't divided it. At this point, God hasn't separated. Guys, in our lives, we're going to go through a lot of the same things that others go through. You know, being a Christian does not deliver us from heartache and pain and misery. How many of you have been miserable? I won't ask how many of you are, but how many of you have been? All right, we've been through some struggles. It's been tough. But when the world sees us going through it too, that gives us some humanity. It gives us some credibility. It gives us, they're able to relate to us. Why do you think Jesus came to the earth? Jesus left heaven, walked as a man, was born as a baby and a little boy. And we see his life as he's progressing and aging. He's a man. He sits down on the well at Samaria. Why? Because he's thirsty and he's tired. He sent the disciples, the apostles in the town, said, go find some food. But we look at Jesus and the humanity of Jesus. Why do you think that John 11:30 Bible? Jesus wept. People could relate. They said, oh, look, he's sad because his friend died. What is that called? They could relate to him. At this point, the Hebrews in Egypt, though they're in their own little quarter of the nation, they're going through the same stuff. I imagine they're still saying, remember when Moses came and said, let my people go, and Pharaoh said, oh, they don't have enough. If they can come in here and want to go on a trip and have a festival, they don't have enough work. Give them more work. And then the people met Moses and Aaron, and they said, guys, since y'all got here, our life has gotten worse. If you look back on your salvation, and maybe you'll see it with people, when people get saved and they get baptized and they start serving the Lord, have you ever noticed things get worse for a little while? I've noticed that trend. It seems like, man, your car broke down, your air conditioner broke, something's wrong with your roof, and maybe somebody in your family gets hurt or does something bad, and you're maybe at work, and it just seems like the world's falling apart, and you say, man, I got saved. Life wasn't this hard before I got saved. But there's that period of time, right after we get saved, it just seems like we're put to the test. And remember Jesus talking about the parable of the sower. He said the sower went forth to sow, and he put some seeds out. And what happened to that seed? Well, some of it sprung up. And then what happened? Well, the weeds choked some of it. The heat got to some of it. Right? That's what happens when you get saved. There's a test that follows salvation. They said to Moses, Moses, before you got here, life was good. How do you think they feel now? After their water turned to blood and they had to deal with frogs. Man, Moses, since you got here, it's been bad. Go back. Leave us alone. Let us go back to work. I know that life was miserable. I know that we were complaining and crying out to God. But it was better than this. I imagine that there was a lot of that going on in their minds. Aren't you glad we don't have smell a Bible? Right? Can't smell the story. Should have brought some dead frogs in here so we could relate better. Sure enough, would have cleared the room then, huh? That's right. You never asked them to take it away, did he? They could duplicate. But their duplication was on a smaller scale, too. They were able to do it, but it was a smaller scale. Obviously, if Aaron's rod, the serpent, swallowed their, it must have been a bigger rod, right? Must have been a bigger serpent. Swallowed them up. Good point. Verse 9. Ask this question. He says, glory over me, hallelujah, when shall I entreat for thee? And for thy servants and for the people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only. And Pharaoh said what? tomorrow. You ever heard that sermon? One more night with the frogs. One more night with just, you know, and that's where we are with our sin, isn't it? Well, I'm going to quit. I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn away from it, but I got one more left in me. One more time. One, just this last time, and then I'll be done, and then I'll put it behind me one more time. Well, one more time becomes one more time. Tomorrow. When is it going to be gone? Tomorrow. When are you going to quit? Tomorrow. When are you going to check into rehab? Tomorrow. Ask a man, when are you going to go to the doctor? Right? Tomorrow. I'll call tomorrow. No, call today. That's tomorrow's a long day. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. So remember, Moses is in this mindset that this is it. We made our point. He gets it. These frogs convince Pharaoh to let us go. We're going to pack up. Man, by this time, we'll be going to the wilderness. And we'll make our sacrifices and we'll worship God. We're there. We made it. And victory. And so he goes out and he and Aaron, verse 13, the Lord did according to the word of Moses. The frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, out of the fields. They gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But, verse 15, when Pharaoh saw there was respite, he hardened his heart. There is a good lesson to be learned in that, because when we're going through troubles, it seems like the world's going to end. How many of us can look back and we remember we thought that was it? We thought we couldn't survive that, but we did. There was respite. We did. We survived it. And then, of course, Pharaoh hardened his heart and he said, never mind, you can't go. Verse 16, the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out thy rod, smite the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land. Verse 18, so the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice. Look at this. But they could not. Oops, we finally got that point. Now they can turn their rod into a serpent, bring frogs out of the river. But now God says, I'm going to stop their ability. This dark magic, black magic, whatever you want to call it, I'm going to withhold their ability. I'm going to take it away. They won't be able to duplicate, replicate this anymore. And so there's lice, and they can't make lice. Look at verse 19. This is the shift. And the verse 19, the magicians said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. By the way, it's been the finger of God the whole time. But now they can't do it. And he says, why can't you do it? They say, well, this is God. You know, we're not gods. Can't do that. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened. So the devil. Verse 20, the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh, load to the water. Say to him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Same message. By the way, same place. Same time. Verse 21, else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, into thy houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also on the ground full of swarms. Verse 22, and I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, where my people dwell. No swarms of flies shall be there. Where are you going? I'm going to Goshen. To the end, look, that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And verse 23, I will put a division between my people and thy people tomorrow shall this sign be. I'm gonna give you an opportunity, and you can stop it right now. You can turn it around right now, or you can wait and see what happens. You can either believe me, or you can just wait and see that I'm telling the truth. I'll give you a chance to turn it around. But he didn't turn it around. Verse 24, the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies. Verse 25, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go, sacrifice to your God in the land. He said, just do have your feast, but have it here. Right? Serve God here. You don't have to go serve God where God said to serve. You can serve God where you are. Serve him here. Moses said, it is not meet to do so. We shall, first of all, Moses says, this is your land. There are your customs, your culture. And if we sacrifice our God here, it's completely against everything y'all believe. And that's going to really upset your people. They will stone us. Verse 26. Verse 27, we will go 3 days' journey into wilderness and sacrifice the Lord our God, as he shall command us. We're going to do what God says, not what you say. Verse 28, Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. Go to God and tell God, I'm going to let you go. Get rid of these flies. But you can't go too far. I'll let you go. You want to go out of the land? Go out of the land. But you can't go far. Verse 29, Moses said, Behold, I go out from thee. I will entreat the Lord that the swarm of flies may depart from Pharaoh and his servants and from the people tomorrow. Tomorrow. Always tomorrow, right? When you want the frogs to go away? Tomorrow. I'm going to bring the flies when? Tomorrow. I'm going to take the flies away. When? Tomorrow. Think about that. I mean, so here you are with these flies everywhere, and you're experiencing it with this mindset that it's going to be gone tomorrow. Are you looking forward to tomorrow? Or are you fussing about today? We go to chapter 9. God says, now we're going to send a disease on the cattle. Verse 4, the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. There shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel's. 6, the Lord did that thing on the morrow. All the cattle of Egypt died, but the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. Let's take a step back and look at this. What did Joseph tell his people when they came? He said, look, these Egyptians, they don't like keeping cattle. It's a dirty, filthy job. So let's tell them that you are cattlemen, and then the Goshen, what? That's where the good land is to feed the cattle. And then you'll have a beautiful land, you'll have the cattle, and that'll be your business, because they don't like doing this. They don't like cattle, right? Y'all remember this. And so now Israel has cattle. There is Egyptian cattle, but, you know, this is a specialty of the Jews. How many of you like steak, right? Beef. So if all the cattle in Egypt die, where are they going to get the steaks? Where are they going to get the beef? Jews still have cattle. Yeah. Well, and so you've got the workers, the slaves, and then you've got what they've got at home. They've got cattle. So this is going to really increase their standard of living, isn't it, if they've got all the cattle? So all the cattle in Egypt died. By the way, we take these next steps forward. I'm sure you've already studied it. We see the Egyptians have cattle. Where did they get them? They bought them from the Jews. So it's all working in the favor of the Hebrews. God is working all these things together for their good. But Pharaoh, again, hardened his heart. He didn't let him go. And now we come down to verse 8. It shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And so he takes the dust, he scatters it, the ashes, he scatters it, and everybody gets these boils on them. Verse 11, the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. So now their skin, remember, what did it make you think of? Job. Remember, God said, you can't kill him, but you can do everything else. And man, he was scraping, using broken pot shards to scrape his skin. It was just awful. And if you've ever had, shingles, right? Shingles, chicken pox, all that stuff makes you miserable. Any kind of a rash that's irritating in you. And what do we say? Don't scratch it. Why? Because scratching it makes it worse. Just put me to sleep. Wake me up when it's gone. But it's awful. And so now they're all experiencing it. Verse 13, the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh. Say unto him, thus saith the Lord, God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, upon thy servants, thy people, that thou may knowest that there is none like me in all the earth. I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. Verse 17, exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go? Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. About this time. You have a chance. You can turn now. You can avoid it. How many of us want to avoid problems? We want to avoid it. Yet, tomorrow about this time, verse 24, there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, lightning. We look down, and it talks about the thunder. It was just a grievous storm, but it was a hailstorm. It fell and tore up everything. Verse 25, it smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, man and beast. The hail smote every herb of the field, break every tree of the field. Only in the land of the Goshen, where the children of Israel were, hail. See, there's that division. The whole world was going through it, their world, Egypt, but they were safe. Verse 27, Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous. I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail. I will let you go. Ye shall stay no longer. He's convinced. I mean, he's looking at country being just ripped to shreds. At what point do you realize this is a power you cannot overcome? A threat that's not going to go away. Chapter 10. Let's read verse 1. Let's start in verse 1, chapter 10. The Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh. I've hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my sons before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and thy son what things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. So this lesson is to be carried on. This is supposed to make an impact. This is really supposed to impress our hearts, so that we share it. What happens in verse 4? If you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts. Judgment is coming. Judgment is ahead. You have a chance. Well, did he accept it? Nope. Verse 7, Pharaoh's servant said to him, "How long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed?" Imagine that you're one of the Egyptians who's lived there all your life and worked there all your life, and you've got cattle. They're all dead. You've had to put up with the stink, with the frogs, with the lice, with the flies, the bloody water. Like, enough. Why are we standing against this power, against this man? Let him go. Just get rid of him. That was the goal. The goal was to get rid of these people. Let's let them go. So Pharaoh says, okay, the men can go. Just the men. Moses said, nope, that's not the deal. The deal is we're all going, women, children, men, and all of our animals. Because we got to have sacrifice. We don't know what God's going to require of us. We got to have sheep, got to have everything. We don't know which kind or how many. So we just got to take it and go. And the locusts came and they ate everything. Look at what it says in verse 14. The locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. They covered, verse 15, they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened. They did eat every herb of the land, the fruit of the trees, which the hail had left. There remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt. They ate everything. Think of when a hurricane comes through and just blows everything away. I can remember driving through Miami right after Hurricane Andrew, and it just looked like a wasteland. And I know we've experienced it, even Michael, close by, the way it just cut the trees down. And everything's devastated. And you look here, these locusts have eaten everything that was left after the hail. Now the locusts come along. Verse 16, Pharaoh called for Moses in haste, and he said, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. I pray thee," verse 17, "now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once. Entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only." Moses says, okay, we finally got him. I mean, what is there left? What else could we do? You're ready to go then, weren't you? There's nothing left to eat. And he brings darkness in verse 21. 3 days. 23. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. I mean, the land was dark, so they couldn't even see each other. They just stayed in bed. It was dark outside. I wish my kids would do that. Verse 24, Pharaoh called to Moses and said, "Go serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones go also with you." And Moses, in verse 26, nope, everybody, everything. Verse 28, Pharaoh said to him, "Get thee from me. Take heed of thyself, see my face no more, for in the day thou seest my face, thou shalt die." Big talk. Big talk for a man that's asking me to pray for you, right? And Moses said, "Thou hast spoken well, I will see thee again." No more. Moses said, "You're done, I'm done." How easy would it have been to fix the problem? You know what it's going to take. People wonder, well, How am I going to get this out of my life? Most of the problems we bring on is not the devil. It's us. We create the problems in our lives. Somebody said to me the other day, I know that God won't give us more than we can handle. I said, the problem is the stuff we take on without God's influence. We just take it on ourselves. We never ask God. And that's why we're burdened. Many times, not all the time. Comments, good stuff in there, right? Let's take a break.